I want to deal with something this morning, which is something that we have all experienced, perhaps, in our lives as we have dealt with people. If we've gotten folks to listen to us, then folks sometimes think that we come away as uncaring. Entitled the sermon this morning, We Care. Now, when folks come up with the idea that we're not caring, it's not because Christians are mean. It's not because Christians are unloving or anything of that nature. But often it's because what Christians have to say is what most folks don't want to hear. Now, if a brother stands strong and preaches the truth, he's going to make some people angry. It's not designed to do that. He does it because he cares. What a folks want to hear is that God is loving and merciful, and He is. But they also want to hear that God would not sentence anyone to hell. Well, He won't. Now, Jesus will, because Jesus is the judge. But He will only sentence those to hell who have chosen not to be obedient to God. To this and those who are offended by that, we ask the question that the Spirit had the Apostle Paul ask the Galatian brethren in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16. In fact, the reason that one will tell another about the love of God and the plan of God is because they care. Paul asked those brethren, am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth. Our text this morning is 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. And it's speaking about the care that God would have for us and the Lord would have for us when He says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We need to understand that not only does God care, not only does Christ care, but we care. In Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, we see the Apostle Paul, directed by the Spirit, to emphasize the importance of every member of Christ's body. There are those who think that they're not important in the body of Christ. Now, not all have the same job, not all have the same function, not all have the same ability, not all have the same dedication, but all are important to God. And every member is important. We read in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, beginning, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. Now he gets into an area that doesn't apply specifically to us today in verse 6 there. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. That is because we're no longer in the age of the miraculous, the babyhood of the church, when these spiritual gifts were necessary in absence of the written word. But then he says in verse 8, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Those who do these things will show that they truly care. You are here this morning because you care. What do you care about? And that is important. But another passage that teaches us about the importance of every member of the church is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, beginning and there and reading through verse 27. Maybe we'll not read the entirety of that portion. But he starts out, the Spirit has him tell everyone that the body is one, having many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. It tells us how we became part of that body. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. He goes into then a explanation about part of the body, saying that it's not important, or because one part is not the eye, then it's not of the body. In verse 18, we see, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? And then we skip down to verse 25. This is the point of this particular passage, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. I know that each part of the body has its own function. And I know that relative to this particular point, there's been an example used, and I'm going to use that very example. If you've ever decided that you're going to do something with a hammer and a nail, and inadvertently slam that hammer down upon your thumb, that thumb's going to want to get up in the middle of the night. And when that thumb gets up in the middle of the night, it cannot go and sit in the recliner by itself. Well, now you say, well, that's just being silly. Well, think about it. All of the body cares for that thumb because that is the part of the body that is hurting. That is the part of the body that is suffering. And the same thing is true in the body of Christ. When one member suffers, all are to suffer. When one rejoices, all are to rejoice. And that's because we care. We love one another. Now, ye are the bodies of Christ, and members in particular, verse 27 there. So as we look back on these two passages, chapter 12 of Romans, verse 5, being the key verse from that chapter, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, then we see also 1 Corinthians 12, 25, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Division in the body is not part of God's plan. And we'll see as we continue through this that God uses His faithful children to provide the care that humanity needs. It was discussed this morning about the terrible events that took place over in West Virginia. It was awful to see that on the Weather Channel, the house being on fire going down the river. People lost everything they had. And there are other people who are responding to those needs. The physical needs in life. But we also are to take care of spiritual needs in life. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 helps us to see this. Oftentimes when people read passages such as this, often when they hear about disasters and the terrible things that can happen due to weather and that sort of thing, they think about the physical. Galatians 6:10 says, As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. If you care for humanity, what greater thing can you do than to tell someone about the love of God, about the Savior who is willing to die on Calvary's cross to provide the opportunity for eternal life? Oh, it's true that we ought to take care of the physical needs of especially our brethren, those of the household of faith. But we need to make sure that we address all of the needs. That's how we care. That's how we show we care. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, we see that the Spirit had the Apostle Paul write to this young man. He said, "This is a faithful saying, and these things will I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works." We don't have to wait for a natural disaster to show that we care. There is a spiritual disaster going on in the lives of many, and we need to exercise care. We need to show them. He goes on to say that these things are good and profitable unto man and unto men. The world needs to know that we care. Many of our brethren need to be reminded that we care. We care, so we take the time to share. I used to shy away from that particular phrase. I had a friend who used to, every week or so, would come and say, "I want to share something with you. I want to share Jesus." Well, I got to thinking about that. How can you share Jesus with me? And so, he came to me one time, about 3 or 4 weeks later, and he says, "I want to share Jesus with you." I said, "Let me share the words of Jesus with you." He says, "Well, it's the same thing." I says, "Not in the way that you're looking at it. The way that you're teaching it. We are to share the gospel, the power of the gospel with the lost, with those that are in error. And we do so because we care. Oftentimes when we go to them and we talk to them about their soul, they say, well, you're just being mean. You're telling me that I'm going to go off into eternal condemnation. Listen, I'm so very thankful that somebody cared enough to say, let me tell you about the Son of God. Let me tell you about the sacrifice that He made on Calvary's cross. Let me tell you what opportunity is available to you. And I'm going to do it because I care. We need to take this seriously. In John chapter 1, verses 43 through 46, even before Jesus died upon Calvary's cross, we'll see that there were those who followed Jesus and those who took it seriously. It's because they cared. The following day, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Peter and said unto him, follow me. Now, Philip, I said Peter, I meant Philip. Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. I want to point out what was going on here. Here was one who was excited about the fact that this Messiah had come. He had simply addressed Philip by saying, follow me. Philip cared, and he went to Nathanael, and he said, come, we found him. And Nathanael goes, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said, well, suit yourself. No, he cared. He said, come and see. I think there needs to be more of that today. Come and see what the Word of God says. Come and see the love that we have not only for God, but not only for the Word of God, but also for those in this community. We need to share because we care. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, we find Jesus telling the disciples about the authority that is given unto him. And then he tells them what to do because he had the authority to give them this commandment and to what, when they went, what to do in teaching. It says, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Friends, many people do not understand this is the very formula for the success of Christianity. And it starts with the fact that we care. These men were chosen because of what they would do, the diligence that they would have. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's the first point. Go and teach. Then as they come to an understanding of the truth, baptize them in the name of the Father, or by the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. When they are baptized, they will be baptized into Christ, and then we are to continue to teach. And if we want people to care, we will continue to teach. I'll tell you something that I've learned in the last 5 or 6 years. I knew it, I think, before, but it's come home more so in the last 5 or 6 years. The more you teach, the more you learn. The more you teach, the more you learn, and the more you learn, the more you care. And the more you care, the more you want to teach. So what happens? We share because we care. Proverbs 11 and verse 30 is a passage that we ought to commit to memory. It would help us to understand in what place we should be and what we should be doing. It says, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Those who care to the point that they will share. Those who care to the point that they will go out of their way to talk to somebody about their soul. The needs are theirs. The terrible condition that the people are in. I'm not saying go out and start a conversation by saying, you know what, you're lost. Don't do that. Bring them to the understanding. Allow them to come to that understanding themselves, but do so through the Word of God. You know, we share our physical blessings with the needy. We've already called out Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them that are of the household of faith. But the Bible teaches in many places we're to do good unto people. I'm afraid today that people think that to do good to people is to help them out physically. You're doing them a great disservice if you do not help them spiritually, or at least give them the opportunity. In Luke chapter 6, verses 31 through 35, we see a restating of that which is known as the golden rule at the beginning of this. And as you would have, or would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Let's stop reading right here. Put yourself in a situation in which you have a need. Now, I know most people will think immediately about a physical need, but that's okay for this point of this particular discussion at this point. Put yourself in a place that you have a physical need, and then look out at others and say, why won't they help me? The reason I said it's okay to think of physical at this particular point is because most people don't realize their spiritual needs. We have to help them with that. But as we continue reading, he says, for if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. If ye lend to them of hope, of whom ye have hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. The kindness that God has showed upon humanity, even those who are unthankful, even those who are evil, is the fact that he cares, and he loved us, and still does. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16, we see something that addresses the situation when people say, you know, it's quite a sacrifice for me to show my care for people, to show them how much I love them, to go out of my way to do something to help them. But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. We've mentioned a couple of times, especially those of the household of faith. Yes, we are to help our brethren. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, we'll see that this, when the brethren were a small group, and I say that in the fact that the gospel had not been spread universally, it had recently just begun there in Jerusalem, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Now, what does this mean? Oh, they all thought the same thing. No, that's not what it means. Read on. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. They addressed the needs of their brethren. Not the wants, but the needs. We share our time and our love with our brethren because we care. Romans chapter 12, verses 9, beginning. It tells us, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Hang on to that which is good. Is it good to care? It is. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, and given to hospitality. If we care, we should take the time to share. We care, so we approach God in prayer. You know, we pray for open doors of opportunity to share the gospel. I think a lot of times our prayers are asked improperly. I've heard a brother recently pray in a public prayer for God to save all the lost in this community. He's provided the means, and if we care, we will take those things to the lost, that we will reach out to them. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4 does tell us to continue in prayer. It says, continue in prayer and walk in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. When we pray prayers like that, are we really thinking what we're asking? Throughout all of the reading of the New Testament, ever since the beginning of the Christian age, you will not find one soul that God reached out and saved. You say, what about Saul on the road to Damascus? Listen, he spoke directly to the Lord right there on the road to Damascus. He wasn't saved. He followed the commandment to go into the city, and he still wasn't saved. He prayed for 3 days, and he still wasn't saved. But the Lord also spoke to Ananias, and Ananias cared, and he went. And he dealt with the situation properly. When we care, we approach God in prayer, and we pray for the physical needs of our brethren, for their health, for their comfort, for their emotional well-being. We have prayer lists online on our bulletins, and we express our desires to God. And we do so because we care. James chapter 5 deals with this particular situation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And this is not permission for the elders now to go out and physically put oil upon people's head and expect them to get better. But notice the end of verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If indeed we care, we'll spend time in prayer. We're to also pray for the spiritual needs of the brethren. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with perseverance and supplication for all saints. We should pray for the strength of the brethren. Friends, it's a sad, sad situation in many congregations of the Lord's church today, in which brethren are weak, which brethren that do not show that they care. And we are to pray for the strength of the congregation. We find this in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 beginning. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. To what end? Verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. I say that we should pray for the strength of the congregation, but it begins with each individual within the congregation. Each must study. Each must learn. And those who do not study are those who are showing how little they care. Giving thanks unto the Father, verse 12, which hath made us to be meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. As members of the body of Christ, every one of us should care about the lost souls of the world. We have trouble getting more than 30 people to be here on each and every Lord's Day. Those who are visiting with us have helped us today, and that our number is even greater than it was last week, and we thank you. We thank you that you care enough while you're traveling, while you're visiting, to search out a congregation. And hopefully, you'll realize that we do care, and that we're striving here in this community to reach the lost and to reach the erring. But God has shown his care. He's provided the means to help all. To help all become his children. And that's what we're about here today. His children that care tell others how to be obedient to the gospel. And because I care today, I'm going to tell you how that you too can become a child of God. How that you can be a part of that group if you remain faithful. Who will hear the words on that great and final day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God has told us in His Word that there are some things that a person must do to become a child of God, and they are spelled out in various places. One place that we hear that we are to hear, that we read that we are to hear, is Acts chapter 10 and verse 33, where we read, "Immediately therefore I sent to thee, that thou hast well done, that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here, present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." I wish today that people would care about their soul enough to say, "At least let me hear." We know the result of this particular situation. They heard, and they were obedient. What did they do in order to believe? Well, John 8:24 tells us that we are to believe. "I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins." Having done that, a person will repent, turn away from sin, turn back toward God. Acts 17:30 tells us, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And after repenting and coming before men, they to do so to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Romans 10, verse 9, tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then a person is to be baptized into Christ. We spoke of Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. But in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, the question was asked of him, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And then having done so, we become children of God. Once we've heard, believed, repented, confessed, and have been baptized into Christ, but then we have to show continually that we care by remaining faithful unto death. You know, I hope to, at the end of my life, be able to truly have uttered over my casket the words found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. The Apostle Paul, given these words by the Spirit, said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." Indeed, faithful unto death. You may be here this morning and you've never heard these things. If you want to hear more about it, if you want to sit down and study, if you want to participate in a extended study as you go back to your home, please contact us and let us know. But if you are here and you are a child of God and you've allowed sin to enter into and control your life, know that because God cares, He provided for you also in His plan. And know that we care. And that's why we're telling you about it today. That is to return to Him in repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8, verse 22 is sometimes called the second law of pardon. That's because it applies to Christians only. "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." We love you today. We love you every day. But we wanted to tell you today how much we care and how much God cares and what you can do so that you can be in favor with God. If you need to respond to the invitation, we encourage you to do so as we open our songbooks and as we stand and while we sing.